Hello, I'm Roger Bomrick, managing partner of Millezima USA. Millezima here in the United States is the affiliate of the leading European direct sale merchant of fine wine to consumers. We have an extensive portfolio of famous Bordeaux wines and wines from all over the world for that matter. You can learn more about us and about our portfolio by going to our website, millezima-usa.com. Thank you.
You're listening to iWine Radio. My name is Lynn Crelo Chamberlain, host of Wine and Dine. We're continuing our conversation about the French Wine Society's three-month master-level online study and certification program on the wines of Bordeaux with Roger C. Bomrick, Master of Wine, who is managing partner of Millezima USA. And Roger's going to be teaching the webinar that's called The Economics of Bordeaux. It's no surprise that he's teaching about the economics of Bordeaux. Let me read you some of his bio. After earning the Master of Wine title in 1993, Roger dedicated himself to the Master of Wine cause, first as education coordinator of the North American Educational Program, then as chairman of the North American Advisory Board. He led the formation of the nonprofit Institute of Masters of Wine North America when he served three terms as the first president. And when Institute Masters of Wine was first coming to the U.S., the people who were teaching were all from the U.K. I remember it very well. Roger has worked for two national importers as senior vice president of marketing for Frederick Wildman and Sons, and he acted as a buyer and liaison with wineries in a dozen countries and also developed training and education for firm staff and wholesale clients. And most recently, he has set up the U.S. affiliate of Millezima, which is Europe's leading fine wine mail order merchant. And, oh, you have to go to the website because it's quite fascinating. People in Europe were able to get their hands on Bordeaux en premier. And, Roger, that must be really exciting, being involved with Bordeaux so intimately like that on a day-in and day-out basis.
Oh, it absolutely is, Lynn. When I first got into the wine trade, of course, like everyone else in those days in the 1970s, French wine led by Bordeaux was the ultimate. It defined all else in the world of wine. And in those early years, I had the chance to travel to Bordeaux quite extensively in the mid-1980s, as a matter of fact, when I was charged with setting up a Bordeaux portfolio for Frederick Wildman and Sons. But then I stepped away from my Bordeaux focus. And it was not until really quite recently that I've become intimately involved once again with Bordeaux wines.
Roger, something's occurred to me that I have to ask you because you'll have an answer for us. So you say, even this might be kind of interesting for some people, when you first were traveling to Bordeaux, it was the mid-80s. And correct me if I'm wrong, Robert Parker really wasn't coming on the scene until basically about the same time period.
That's exactly right.
So when you first went there, he didn't really have this influence that he had, you know, after that in the 90s.
Well, he cut his teeth, as it were, on the 1982 vintage, if you recall. He was the one who praised the wines so enthusiastically after tasting them out of barrel, whereas many of the traditional European critics said, oh my gosh, that the vintage is too ripe, it's too soft, and it won't go anywhere. Well, he was quickly proved to be right. And how right now in the historical context, because the 1982s remain one of the hot commodities in the auction market.
Fascinating time to be part of that history of Bordeaux.
Oh, it really was, and it's funny because given my age and my involvement with the wine trade, I have witnessed the arrival of so many American wine publications, wine critics, who didn't really exist the first day I set foot in a wine importer's office just after graduate school.
Roger, what did you study in graduate school?
I was at Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies. I thought, like my father, I would like to go into the Foreign Service or some branch of the government dealing with world affairs.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And are you originally from New York?
Well, that's a complicated question, Lynn, because I spent half my childhood living outside of the United States in several countries. My father was a diplomat, and I didn't really come back to the States until high school, and it was in the New York area that I went to high school.
So, Roger, how many languages do you speak?
Well, my French is pretty good. It's been perfected over the years in the cellar, as I like to joke with people.
Yeah.
My German was better when I was a teenager because I went to a German-speaking school.
Okay, wow.
But unfortunately, it's dormant now.
Because you don't use it.
I don't use it at all, no.
I bet you understand it, though, if you're in Germany.
Well, I understand some of it, but I'm afraid I've just let it go.
Well, that's okay for us since you're working with Bordeaux.
Yeah.
So what are people going to learn in this Economics of Bordeaux? In a nutshell, what do you think is so unique about the Economics of Bordeaux compared to the Economics of Champagne or the Economics of Burgundy?
Well, let's see. I suppose it's the importance, the weight that Bordeaux carries in the world of wine historically and still today. Perhaps in the United States, We have turned away from Bordeaux. It's no longer what I once described it as. It's no longer the touchstone for many American wine drinkers who think first of California or of some other New World country. It is something more remote, something perhaps not reachable or tangible, because all the wines, unrightly so, seem so expensive. When most are really not. So what I'm going to try to convey is how important Bordeaux still is in the world of wine, the volume of wine produced, it's important on the world marketplace, and how it remains so vibrant even today with this booming trade in East Asia.
Yes. Oh, unbelievable booming trade in East Asia. When you're with the Millesima, on the website it says that you're selling to European buyers or clients, but are you also selling to clients in Asia?
Well, in addition to 11 European countries where Millesima has a direct operation, they also ship from Bordeaux all over the world. And last year, just before the 2009 futures campaign was launched, they set up what amounts to a virtual operation, believe it or not,
yes.
In Hong Kong.
Yeah, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, so yes, they are very much aware, like other Bordelais-based merchants, of the importance of all of the East Asian marketplace.
So with you being managing partner of Millesima at USA, you're specifically catering to clients in the United States?
Yes, exclusively. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so people, 20, 30 years ago, as you rightly say, this whole concept of people buying futures, it was topical. It was all the news, and you don't hear so much about that now. And because we've got all these little retailers and all these chain stores that are selling wine and that sort of thing. So
yeah.
What you're doing is truly focusing on this.
Yes, that is a very important part of the Millesima business model. They, by the way, sell other luxurious French wines beyond Bordeaux.
Okay.
Although Bordeaux classified growths remain the core business. But Millesima buys all of their Bordeaux wines ex property directly from the Chateau. But what makes them unique is rather than selling on to the trade to a wholesaler or to an importer, they sell to the consumer. So they have this very unusual approach in how they trade Bordeaux wine.
Boy, I bet, and people probably get a better price point also doing it that way.
Well, they are assured of an extensive repertoire of classified growths, so the most famous properties, because the allocations which Millesima enjoys at this stage in its 25-year life are quite healthy. They're the fifth largest buyer of the Cru Classé, the classified growths of Bordeaux. So they're a major player, even though they're often not counted amongst them, only because they're not a négociant or shipper in the traditional sense.
Oh my gosh! So Roger, you probably know that all the top collectors of Bordeaux classified growths in the United States.
Well, I can't say that I know them all personally. I've met many of them, and because of my involvement with the collector's world and the world of fine wine more broadly, after becoming a master of wine, I really have had a chance to meet many, many more collectors through tastings and seminars and presentations.
Oh my gosh, how much fun. No day is like the day before. Roger, we're going to go to a short break here and continue our conversation, okay?
Wonderful, thank you.
Roger Bulmrich is master of wine. And the man knows, I mean, it's in his blood. You tell. Managing partner of Millesima USA, when we're talking about his contribution as a teacher at the Bordeaux Master Level Program with the French Wine Society. You're listening to Wine and Dine.
Hi, my name is Dewey Markham Jr. I'm living in Bordeaux, been here 16 years. I've written several books about wine. The 1855 classification, a history of Bordeaux classification, is one of the books. And you can actually find out more about this on my website, dmjwineworks.com, where you can find out about the books, about tours in Bordeaux, and a variety of the other activities that I engage in.
Hello, this is Karen Taylor. I am the editor of France Magazine.
Bonjour, I am Jean-Paul Kaufmann, a contributor to France Magazine.
You may subscribe to France Magazine at www.francemagazine.org and keep listening to Wine and Dine Radio.
Bonjour, I'm Paul Pontellier. I'm the general manager and winemaker of Chateau Margaux, the first growth of the Médoc, of Margaux, and you're most welcome to come on our website and join us at chateau-margaux.com.
My name is Lynn Creelo Chamberlain, host of Wine and Dine. I don't know, it's probably been about 2 years ago when I interviewed Dewey Markham Jr., author of The Classified System of 1855. I remember very specifically that Dewey's aha about Bordeaux was very much based on the economics of Bordeaux. We're continuing our conversation today with Roger C. Bulmrich, Master of Wine, who will be teaching the 20th webinar in the series of the French Wine Society's Master Level Online Study and Certification Program, which, as far as I can tell, is open to, you don't have to be in the United States, you can be anywhere in the world, truly. And Roger, have you done this sort of webinar online teaching before?
Well, as a matter of fact, last year I presented what turned to be a very lengthy and very extensive webinar on Bordeaux. It was really focused more on the changes that I perceive in recent decades in Bordeaux, and yet despite those changes, how vital Bordeaux remains. You can tell that that's a theme that I return to again and again. And I also went into the 2009 vintage, discussing the nature of the vintage, why it's an exceptional one, and the futures marketplace. So that was the subject of last year's Bordeaux webinar.
And this was also through the French Wine Society?
Yes, it was.
Oh, my gosh. Roger, do you have any idea? I didn't look into it online, or I think I glanced at it and didn't write it down. How much it costs for people to enroll in this online certification?
Gosh, I'm sorry to say that I'm really ignorant of all those details. To tell you the truth.
I think it's from what I glanced at. I think it's very, very reasonable because it's an online study program, and people are not tasting every week.
I believe that's the case. Yeah.
Wow. And people are going to be, they're going to have online study modules, review quizzes, a lot of reading and tasting assignments on their own, interactive question and answer with instructors. So during the webinar or at the end of the webinar, each webinar, the instructor, you will be taking questions from people participating?
Yes, exactly right. And that's the same thing that I did in last year's webinar, which was divided into several parts, and I answered questions after each of the parts. But on this point, Lynn, after now having the chance to see myself the curriculum, I'm incredibly impressed with it. As you pointed out, I've been involved in wine education for a long, long time now, and there are sadly too many, what should we call them, amateurish
yes.
attempts to teach wine. But this one is serious, and it's thorough. All of this is being devoted just to this wine region, Bordeaux. This entire program and all these different parts and pieces and masters of wines and master sommeliers and other well-known true authorities in the subject matter. So I'm incredibly impressed with it and thrilled to be part of the program.
That must have taken Julian Camus a lot of effort to put this together.
I'm sure it must have, yeah.
How long does each webinar take? Do you have any game plan? Is this like an hour and a half time commitment to participate in a live webinar or 2 hours? Or is it kind of just depends upon how many questions come in?
Well, I think that 1 hour is the guideline.
Okay.
I think if it's more than an hour, and I confess that the one I presented last year was quite long, maybe too meaty, and it went over 1 hour, and I felt myself after the fact that it was just too long. It's unreasonable to expect an audience to be seated in front of their computer and have their headphones on and be really attentive for all that time. So I think we can accomplish, each of us, I'm sure, in 45 minutes to 1 hour, a very, very complete presentation on the topic.
So, Roger, have you put together like a paper that you've written or that you're going to read, or you've made an outline of key points you want to discuss? How do you prepare?
It starts with research, and no matter what you're doing, of course,
right.
When you're making an educational presentation, as this is, you have to be sure that you've got the facts. And one of the things about being a master of wine, it didn't take me long to find out, is you've got to prove every day that you deserve the title. And I've felt that responsibility since 1973. So my first step has been, and I've been working on this for a while now, to see what the latest stats are, for example, because it's a fast-changing scene. I've already mentioned the rise of East Asia, and I'll tell you, Blink and the positions of leading export markets change almost overnight, it seems, with China and Hong Kong now coming up to the number one position. Worldwide, it's extraordinary what's happened. So the first task is to make sure that you are really up to date on all the facts. And so that's what I've done. And then I personally tend to like an outline that's just more for myself as a discipline. And then last, it will be put in a PowerPoint.
Oh, yes.
And,
okay.
In a PowerPoint, and it will be dressed up a bit. Because it can't just be a jumble of facts and figures. It's got to be more
interactive.
More interactive, more interesting than that. It's got to have more lift and more sex appeal, if you will.
Roger, do you have any thoughts on India as an emerging market for Bordeaux?
I listened to a fascinating presentation at the symposium of the Masters of Wine in Bordeaux last June about the Indian market. It was very humorous, but very instructive at the same time. I think it's going to be quite some time before India follows China and Hong Kong, and for that matter, Taiwan, Japan, and Singapore as a significant Bordeaux market. But again, with the exploding middle class, the lust for prestigious, traditional Western goods, because after all, that's what Bordeaux represents. I wouldn't rule out that, you know, in the perhaps not so distant future, India too will figure into this.
Well, who would have thought China 20 years ago?
It's exactly right.
In closing, let me ask you, Roger, if someone participates in this three-month master-level online study program, the Wines of Bordeaux, what will they, upon completing the final exam correctly, doing well, and passing, what will the certification program get them as a professional? What, I mean, besides, you know, being able to say that you have a certificate in Bordeaux, what do you think people will, how will they embrace this, the industry?
That's a little difficult for me to answer, I think, Lynn, because I'm afraid that despite the value, and I see it as a very high value of the instruction that they're going to be a party to, I think they're going to need to first, the holder of the certificate, that is, explain to the listener or to a prospective employer, for example, exactly what this program was and what the content was and who the instructors were. And I think that will really give it gravitas.
Exactly. Oh, Roger, it was so lovely to touch base with you today. I thank you so very much for your time.
Not at all, Lynn. Thank you so much. I enjoyed it tremendously.
Roger C. Bromrick, Master of Wine, Managing Partner of Millesima USA, is one of the guest instructors at the three-month master-level online study and certification program on the wines of Bordeaux. We'll have links up for you to connect to the French Wine Society. You're listening to Wine and Dine. iWine Radio is a production of Food Tastes Better with Wine on the web at iWineRadio.com.